You're here with Ben and Gabe on Joy.
And one extra, we got Paul Foot in the studio.
Yay!
Amazing comedian.
Oh, yeah.
He's here for Comedy Festival. Hey, guys, keep it down. Okay, that's enough. We got this.
Do I speak now?
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes.
Please do.
Hello.
Hello, Paul Foy.
Yes, I'm here as well now. I'm in the studio.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're here.
I'm here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, you have a show for Comedy Festival. It is called Image Conscious. You did a show last night.
That's right.
How was it?
It's unbelievable.
How was it?
Who would have thought?
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it was a nice show. But before that, I did four shows last week. Before that, I did a show in Brisbane. Before that, I did more than one show in Brisbane and Gold Coast. And before that, I did a show in Melbourne.
Yeah.
The top comedy gala show.
Oh, yeah.
Yes,
that went
of
on
course.
The TV the other day.
I saw that. You were great.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
By the magic of television, of course, that was recorded 10 days earlier. And before that, I was in Canberra, the capital city of Australia. And before that, I was in Adelaide. And before that, I was in Hobart.
Oh, yeah.
It was my first time in Tasmania.
How was that for you? Because Tasmania doesn't always have the best rep. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Well, I was only just off the plane from England, so I was a little bit jet-logged and I didn't know what was going on. I was just wandering around in a stupor. But I had a nice time, a nice gig, and I liked that it was all beautiful and you could go up into the mountains and look down and see nice views. Mm. And you could eat fish. That was straight from the sea and with chips.
Freshly caught.
Yes, the chips were not, of course, fresh from the sea. I don't know where the chips are from. The fish was very fresh, but the chips, I don't know where they grew the potatoes, whether they grow potatoes in Tasmania or whether they were imported from Asia or whether they'd spent months on a boat coming in from Peru or something. I mean, they could have been very stale, I don't know, but the fish was very fresh.
The fish was flapping on the plate still.
Yeah,
was
very
fresh.
Very fresh, yes. the chips, well, I wouldn't like to comment on the chips.
Ah.
No.
Well.
Oh, okay, we're passing a bit of shade here the Tasmanian chips.
I don't know. I don't know enough.
Okay.
I don't know enough to comment. I don't want to say where they come from. I don't understand the supply chain for chips.
Well, the thing is as well, they get a little bit angry over there. They're easily fired up. They will get worked up. They wave their hand at you with their six fingers and they're just like, rah! They just get pretty up.
Yes.
You've obviously visited Australia many times before.
Yes.
Is there any food, is there any Australian food that you like, or is there any Australian food that just really weirds you out? Like, what do you not get?
Well, if I may stay on the subject of chips, or as you call it here, hot chips.
Hot chips. Do you not say that back home?
Well, you see, the issue arises from the fact that we call what you call chips crisps.
Right.
So that's simple. We've got a separate word for little slices of potato in a little packet called crisps. It's easy.
Yes.
So that means we reserve the word chips purely for what you call hot chips. You, of course, have to call them hot chips if they're not crisps. So that also gives problems. For example, I might say to you, would you fancy some of my cold chips?
Yes.
You know, if I have some cold ones that have gone cold, which of course would not be very good if I was in Tasmania, because I'm already dealing with possibly potatoes that have been imported. And then we have to also wonder, like, they obviously have to fry it in vegetable oil, don't they?
Yeah, of course.
Chips. Well, where does the vegetable oil come from in Tasmania? I mean, supposing it's fried in olive oil.
Yeah.
I mean, where are they going to get those olives? Not in Hobart. They're not going to grow olives in Hobart. It's too cold. So that's going to be not the freshest. But anyway, the point is, I'm not here. I'm not here to talk about Tasmanian chips and the quality of it, so I'm going to move on from that.
But please go to the point,
The point is, and it's a very important point to make.
Yes.
I would have to say, would you like some of my hot chips that have gone cold?
Yeah, right.
So that's but then on the other hand, there are other situations where the Australian language is more efficient. Like, for example, a ute. Do you know what the British word for a ute is?
What's the British word for a ute?
British word for a ute is a sort of, like, small, sort of lorry truck thing that has at the back, it's just sort of open and you can store things on with just like little small barriers to stop things falling out, but relatively not very high up. In other words, there is no word for you.
Yeah, right, right.
Yes.
Not like flatbed truck or something?
No, we just don't have a word for it. There's no word for it.
Okay. I'm just thinking, you could probably be that problem person that whenever you go to a restaurant, you could ask, like, where did these potatoes come from? And you get, like, the waiter or waitress into a real sort of hot sweat.
Well, I could be. Well, don't get me started. No.
Knowing you now, you seem like a very logical thinker, but to anyone else that might be a little bit anxious, you might sort of set them off. They might think you're like, you know, occupational health and safety ombudsman, or maybe just a food reviewer.
Well, I could do, yes. In my show, I do, of course, talk about restaurant menus.
Yes.
And I talk about locally sourced food.
Yeah.
And a lot about soft shell crab.
Oh,
a lot of people don't understand the plight of the soft shell crab. So I talk about that. And I also talk about other things like crusty roll. Very important issues. But in the show, I also talk about other important issues, such as organising a suburban orgy.
Yeah.
So, again, you're on the right lines there, Ben, because it's the... When I talk... I don't talk about the sex. I talk... It's boring, really. I talk about the administrative aspects.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes.
You're here with Ben and Gabe and our special guest, Paul Fort.
Hello. Hello. Yes.
We don't have any applause for you this time. Apologies.
That's right. Or chips.
No chips.
Yes. That's why I ignored you before when you said, I really feel like some chips. It's the sort of thing they say on radio, but it's like the listeners think, oh, that's nice. We're going to have some chips now. But in reality, I know there will be no chips.
Some crisps.
Or crisps. A disaster for radio.
You wouldn't want to eat crisps on air, though, because they'd be like, they'd be very crunchy.
Mm.
No,
it'd be
ASMR. No, it'd be a lot of noise. And also, scotch egg. Wouldn't want to eat that on radio.
What is scotch egg?
Yeah.
Well, you must have that. It's an egg.
Yes.
A hard-boiled egg with pork meat round it.
You're joking.
And then breadcrumbs round it.
Oh, we know that. Isn't that like a pig in a blanket, or is that something else?
A pig in a blanket is a sausage wrapped in bacon, in a slice of bacon. It's a totally different thing.
Or maybe something you do at Mardi Gras. But anyway.
There is a name for it. Scotch egg is the name. Yeah, that's what it's called.
I want to do a cooking show with you, Paul. I think it'd be a real blast.
Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it?
You've got so much knowledge.
Yeah, I'd have the knowledge, and there'd be like ill-tempered sort of arguments about things, and you'd say, no, it's not called that. Oh, yes, it is. And then there'd be little rows, and then we'd be in the middle of a row, and there'd have to be a commercial break, and we'd start throwing pots and plates at each other and crying a bit.
And then the bleeper would go off, and the security guards would pull us apart.
And then it'd come back from the commercial break, and it'd have been clear that one of us had been in tears and was sort of... Mopping at the eyes.
It would definitely be Ben. Ben would be in tears.
Now, your show, Paul Fort, it's called Image Conscious. It's playing at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent. What's the show about? I actually, more specifically as well, want to ask you, what does it mean to be image conscious?
Well...
Is that what you're touching on in the show?
Certainly not. Because the show, just like all my shows, the title is independent of the content.
Mm-hmm.
Always... have the totally separate things in the show.
Is that because you didn't know what the show was going to be about when you wrote the title?
It is really, because it started off because years ago I was doing shows and I had to think of... I always have to think of my title in about February, ready to go to the Edinburgh Festival.
Yeah.
And I'd never know what the show was going to be. So it just started off about 7 years ago and then it's just carried on. Now I just always have the title independent of the content.
Yeah.
But I am, of course, image conscious. That's why I'm wearing my bow tie.
You're wearing a beautiful bow tie. You've got a leather jacket. You always wear a tie, though, I've noticed.
Oh, yes, always wear a tie.
Yes.
But I only ever wear a bow tie on radio.
Right.
Because I like to be smart for radio.
Yeah.
You're looking very dapper, I must say.
Even though no one's going to see you.
Well...
Is that a confidence thing? Just really, you know, picks you up?
Well, yes. I think people can't see the bow tie, but I think it's something of the feeling of the bow tie comes across. Of course, some of the radio stations have the camera, and then people can see the bow tie to confirm it.
We're going to take a photo of you in the bow tie, and we'll put it on our Instagram page so everyone can check out how bloody awesome you look.
You've also got a... I called it a mullet. before.
It's technically not a mullet.
Is it a mullet, Gabe was saying? Were you saying?
Oh, I just thought it might be a little bit fancy.
Put it into perspective. Well, put us non-style. We know nothing about style. Put us into place.
The hair is long at the back and the back, but very short on the top.
Yeah.
It's at the top of business-like, the hair of a businessman, but the sides and the back of the hair of an artist.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
But then my whole clothing is a mixture. My bow tie, the bow tie of an eccentric professor.
Yes.
The trousers of a business person.
Yes.
I have a chastity lock on my on my trouser, the sign of a monk. And I also have the shoes, shiny shoes, the shoes of a show business person.
Wow, there is so much razzle dazzle.
It's
on those
the land that job outfit. It's the I'm gonna land that job. Is that no?
What the?
No. Like this, you know when you wear your best outfit to land the interview.
Yes, but this is not my best outfit. This is my fourth best outfit that I'm wearing today. They're all good outfits. This is the fourth best.
Okay.
I'm wearing my sixth best shirt today.
Oh.
My second best jacket. My third best bow tie. My third best shoes. On my right foot, one of my very best blue socks.
Yep.
And on my left foot, one of my very best skeleton socks.
Ooh.
I like to wear a skeleton sock as a memento mori to remind myself of my mortality.
Don't we all?
I reckon your outfit says, I'm going to get the job. If not, I'm going to knock your pot plan over. Do you know, like a little bit tough, but also quite...
Paul, you've got...
I was thinking of knocking your pot plants over in your reception area.
Anytime, Paul, anytime. You do secret shows back home in the UK. I was watching one of your secret shows where you touch on homophobia.
Oh, yes, that's right. Well,
can you tell us a little bit about it for people that might not have seen it?
Well, the thing is, it occurred to me a little while ago that there are various levels of homophobia.
Yes.
And the top level is when you attack someone just because they're not homophobic. When you think about it, that's the most homophobic it's possible to be. Obviously, the type of homophobia people think of most is like people punching gay people or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's actually only level B.
You're right.
Right.
That's not the most homophobic. The most homophobic is just find someone who is not homophobic and punch them. And so that then led to a whole, the A to Z of homophobia, really, going all the way to different levels. Like if you say to a man, are you gay or something? No, that's my girlfriend there. That would be like level M homophobia.
Yeah.
And then the very lowest level of homophobia is the sort of homophobia that even gay people can sometimes be a little homophobic. Like level Z homophobia is something that certainly happened to me, which sometimes, like, you're maybe in a sort of a bedroom situation and you see a penis and you sort of think, oh, not that again. And that's level Z.
Have you got like an alphabeticalized book on this so we can all just check where we sit on the alphabet?
Well, I have gone over it in some detail in my shows, but I am now thinking of bringing out a proper, like a coffee table book with the levels of homophobia.
It could be a TED Talks.
Yes, and I could also bring one out for the levels of homosexuality.
Yeah.
Going from level A, top levels of homosexuality, right down to the real lowest levels.
Mm-hmm.
Just vague flirting with a businessman in a coffee queue.
I want to get a little bit political, if you're okay with that.
Ooh, how exciting.
And I'm hoping you've heard about this story because I wanted to ask you.
Is it Brexit?
Oh, yes, it's about Brexit.
I've never heard of Brexit.
No.
No, I've never. What is it?
Don't ask me.
Is it a cereal? It's a cereal.
Yeah, I think
right?
It's like a. Well, as they did say, did you hear that someone on. It was in the Conservative Party conference.
Yeah.
One of the speakers said, because there was a thing where Theresa May used to say, Brexit means Brexit. And this person got it wrong and said, in this big speech to all these political people, Brexit means breakfast.
That's okay.
They actually said that, so...
Yeah, wow.
There was a story that has come out. Do you know Yuri Geller?
Oh, yes,
have
I met Yuri Geller. Yeah, I met Yuri Geller a few
years
ago.
Yuri Geller thinks he can end Brexit with mind control. Did you hear about this?
I have not heard of this. No, this sounds interesting.
It does sound very interesting. What do you think about that? Because Yuri Geller has said that he predicted a lot of things. He predicted Donald Trump getting into office. He also had Theresa May over at his house and got Theresa May to touch. Who was the Prime Minister, the famous one from World War II?
He got Theresa May to touch the Prime Minister from World War II. That's a bit inappropriate.
The Prime Minister Spoon, whose name is that I forget.
The Prime Minister Spoon.
Winston Churchill. Oh, touched the spoon.
She touched his spoon that he owns for good luck, and then she became Prime Minister. So he's predicted a lot of things.
Yes, but then you say he predicted that Donald Trump would become president. At what stage did he predict it? I mean, you know, was it at the stage when it was there were two people in the possible run? Was it 25 years ago? You know, the nature of the time when the prediction is made does affect how impressive the prediction is.
Mm. Because it is quite logical that Brexit may just not happen. You know what
That's
I mean?
Possible.
Like yes. Yeah.
But also, I can bend spoons.
You can?
Yeah,
can
just bend it. I mean, anyone can do it. You just hold it in your hand and bend it.
My housemate is a magician, and I tell you what, trying to make a cup of tea in my house is a nightmare because all of the spoons, no joke, they're all bent, so like every single one of them.
Well, it's that his magic. It just seems a very limited magic act, just bending. Is that all he does? Oh, actually, that's Yuri Geller. But anyway, that's it. He just bends spoons, your housemate. Oh,
he does other stuff, but they don't affect my tea making, so it doesn't bother me.
Oh, I see like a dove going on fire.
Yeah, exactly.
Coming out of a top hat.
Yeah. I'm just like in the shower and then he miraculously appears next to me like, surprise!
Is it like Wizard of Oz if when he just wants to disappear this big poof of smoke comes and just goes into the ground?
Big poof of smoke.
Big poof of smoke.
That is homophobia level K.
I'm always in a poof of smoke ball.
Moving on, we're not talking any more about footstools. What can we expect for your show?
Well,
we're running out of time, Paul.
Oh, well, this is it now. This is it. We've just got a few seconds.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
We're running,
Well,
time is of the essence.
I talk about the royals. I talk about suburban orgies. I talk about artisan bread. I talk about all. It's like a long, chaotic story that ends up making sense at the end. It's quite a nice journey.
I saw you on the comedy festival gala the other day. You were talking about lobster?
Soft shell crab,
forgive me.
Yeah, the lobster is a totally different plight, which I will come to in a future show.
Nice.
In my next show, in 2 years' time, the lobster cloud. I once had a lobster cloud in
a
restaurant.
What's a lobster cloud?
A lobster cloud, it was an actual dish in a restaurant at, oddly enough, Gatwick Airport. And it's like a big load of foam that tasted all of lobster.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, delicious.
Mm, very nice.
Paul is in Australia, in Melbourne right now, doing his show Image Conscious. Don't miss it. He is a brilliant mind. He takes you on a fabulous journey. Tickets at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival website.
Yes.
It is one that you do not want to miss. I'm
telling
we've
been on a journey with him now.
I know.
We've really gone places, Paul.
Oh, yes, I know. We've been in talking, well, let's recap. We talked about chips and then we talked about homophobia and then we talked about chips a bit more and particularly focusing on the Tasmanian hot chip situation, which is quite a hot topic for discussion. And that was most of the things we discussed, really.
Image Conscious is playing at the Melbourne Spiegel Tent till the 21st of April. You can get tickets at melbournecomedyfestival.com.au. We've loved you. Please come back again and again and again and just have the best time in Australia.
Oh, thanks, Ben and Gabe. Thank you for having me on the show. I'll go home now.
Absolute pleasure.
Go have a little nap.
Yeah, a sleepy.
A sleepy sleep.